morning. My name is Josh Diggs, and wow, I am loud. Some of you are going, finally, he noticed. If you're a guest with us today, I'm so glad that you're here with us. This is just a sweet church family, and if you're looking for a church home, I know I'm biased, but I'll let you in on a little secret. You can't find a better family than this one. And so I'm so glad to be a part of it, and again, if this is your first time, welcome, glad to see you here, and we're just going to take a few minutes to love on each other today. Now, as you will see, the slide says the Holy Spirit because we are in the middle of a series looking at the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're actually not going to do anything with the Spirit today. We're going to kind of go a little bit different direction, but let me give you a few sort of just housekeeping things before we go a little different tact this morning. First off, I want to remind you to be here next Sunday morning. Because next Sunday at 9 o'clock right here, we're going to celebrate and encourage our graduating senior high seniors. Andrew Sowards, the youth minister who's just up here, will be preaching. It will be one of the shortest sermons this year. You do not want to miss next Sunday. And but it's going to be a great time to encourage our graduating seniors and to be able to just sort of yay-rah them. Now, let me tell you something. The reason we do this is not because we come to church to celebrate people. Amen? Let me do this again. We do not come to church to celebrate people. Amen? Amen? Who do we come to church to celebrate? Family? Jesus. It's all about Jesus, right? So even next Sunday, as we are celebrating and kind of saying yay rah to some of these young people, it's because of Christ and that we want them to focus their eyes on Him as they take their next step and the next chapter of their life. That's what we're doing next Sunday. So you don't want to miss that. One other thing, this Wednesday night, I'll be teaching starting this Wednesday through probably the month of May, and we're going to do sort of a supplemental piece looking at the Holy Spirit, because there's just too much to do on a Sunday. And so here's what I'd invite you to do starting today. On your Connect card, which you should have been given one in your bulletin, if you don't have one there, see back pocket in front of you, grab one. There's a place there for prayer requests. I'm going to invite you to do something. If you don't have a prayer request, but you maybe have a question or a comment, or maybe even a smart remark about the Holy Spirit, you go ahead and jot that down, put the words Holy Spirit, and then jot your piece down. And then at the end of service, you can do one of three things with those cards. One, you can put them in the little baskets outside of these three sets of double doors. Or you can give it to someone who has a name tag on. They're official. They'll take it. They'll take good care of it. Get it to us. Or number three, at the end of service, those who helped with collection and the offering and communion earlier, they'll get up and they will actually receive those cards as well. So there's some ways you can give it to us, and we'll use your questions and comments a little bit to help frame what we talk about on Wednesday nights in regard to the Holy Spirit. But here's what I want to do today. Go ahead and, Daniel, you can go ahead and just take the slide off if you want, but we're going to have just a bit more of a family chat today. Is that okay? Yesterday at 2:25 in the afternoon, I received back-to-back phone calls from three different people in about a five-minute period. I received a call from one of our elders, Wayne Russell, another one of our elders, Stephen Bridges, and then a longtime friend and former member, Michael Yates, to let me know what you've just heard as well this morning, that Ricky Lowry, sometime between when he went to sleep on Friday morning and when his wife Diana went to check on him around 11 or 12 o'clock yesterday, found that he'd gone home to be with Jesus. And I get this call, and like so many of you, you hear the words that someone who is, in our mind, far too young to take the step across, your brain just kind of goes, bleh. It doesn't compute. And I know for you and for so many of us who know Ricky, you kind of think about this, you go, well, Ricky? I mean, okay, some people, sure, but Ricky, his personality would not let him die. The guy had a voice that would come into the room before he even got to the building. He was one of these guys, just a big personality, good guy, full of life. And then you think, well, just 2 years ago, he had bypass surgery and he was doing better. In fact, I was talking to one of you earlier before service and just said, you know, he just said even this past week how he was just feeling so much better and doing so much better. And so we hear this, and we hear this ugly little five-letter word, and we hear the word death. And we go, something just doesn't work with this, does it? So I want us to take just a few minutes as a family. We're going to just have a conversation here, because what I need you to understand is something that I think we get most of the time up here, but perhaps it doesn't travel the most important distance from our head to our heart, where we get this key idea down here. And here is the key idea: death is not natural, church. You say, well, wait a minute, everyone dies. Yes, don't confuse common with natural. In the beginning, how did God make this world? It was perfect. There was no death, there was no sin, there was no pain, there was no suffering. That was natural. Can I get an amen? But then you know the story. Things change. Man rebelled. And we're told in some very particular language that God, in his infinite love, created these two little human beings. He created Adam and Eve, and he said, I made this for you. Enjoy it all. And not only that, but as your king who has rule over you, I now give you rule over all of this. And here's what I want you to do. You see the Garden of Eden, how it's perfect. It's beautiful. And you can just almost see Adam and Eve going, yeah, yeah. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this prototype of creation, and now you subdue all of the earth. You get to rule the rest as I am the ruler over you. And they say, awesome. Are there any other instructions? He goes, yeah, just one. See that tree over there? Don't touch, don't eat, just leave it alone. Now, I know when we hear this, and if we don't think deeply on this, we kind of go, well, why? Is Jesus and God just sort of stingy with their fruit? Is this sort of like, you know, angel fruit, you know, fruit? I mean, is this something just for him, and he doesn't want to share? No. The point was not the fruit. The point was that God says, listen. I want you to enjoy life to its fullest, but it can only be enjoyed fully if you remember that I'm God. That it works best when you're under my authority, when you do things the way that I've created things to be. So here's the one way that you can choose not to come under my rule. Just don't eat it. And then that moment comes in Genesis chapter 3 where Adam and Eve, they see the fruit, they're tempted by the evil one, and they say, that does look good. And they took, they ate, and as Romans chapter 5 tells us, through one man, Adam, death has now entered into the world, and what was once normal and natural has been turned on its head, so that now we get calls about brothers and sisters who've passed away, we get calls about young men who pass away, we get calls about sisters and brothers who have passed away. Don't confuse what is common with what is natural. But there's this one passage I want us to look at this morning, and I want to bring you to the reason why we're here this morning. In fact, let me ask you a question as we turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to ask you, and don't raise your hand, don't say it out loud, but I'm going to ask you just to really thoughtfully consider and come to your mind the answer to this question. Are you ready? Are you listening? Anyone? Hello? This thing on? Okay, you're awake? Here's the question. Are you ready? Why are you here this morning? Why are you here? Now, I know some smart aleck in there is going to say, well, you see, my mommy and daddy loved each other very much, and so then they made me. No, that's not what I mean. Why are you in this place today? Now, I know in a room this size, if we were to go one by one, we might have lots of different answers, and maybe a lot of us would have many answers to the question. You might say, well, the reason I'm here this morning is because I love this church. I love the people here. And by the way, that's one of the reasons I'm here. I love you guys. Well, most of you. No. I love you guys. Some of you might say, well, I like the worship. I love the singing. Others of you might say, well, I love the teaching. Or I like the Bible classes. Or I'm here because I hear we're going to have a potluck. And potluck is the sixth act of worship in the Bible. We're just going to eat and enjoy together. That's why I'm here this morning. Can I get an amen about the potluck? And so some of us are here. You say, you know, all these reasons, and those are fine reasons. But is that the only reason you're here today? I want to suggest to you that the reason that we're here today is because life and death hang in the balance, and those of us who are here, we've come to realize that there is life, but it is found in no other name except for Jesus. And we're here because we cling to that hope and that promise. Now turn with me here to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read just three verses, draw a couple comments, and ask you one question, and we'll call it a morning, okay? Hebrews chapter 12 follows from Hebrews chapter 11, the great heroes of the faith passage. And in Hebrews chapter 11, you have the writer of Hebrews listing the various people who followed God faithfully throughout the Old Testament. You have Abraham, the father of faith. You have Noah. You have all of these judges, and you have people who loved God imperfectly, but still held on to Him in faith. And then he begins chapter 12 with these words, therefore. By the way, whenever you see the word therefore in Scripture, pause and look at what it's there for. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those people, those men, those women from ages past all the way up through today, those who have faithfully followed God, since you and I are surrounded, that in some way that we can't really define, they are cheering us on right now. Those who have stepped over, they're saying, keep going, keep going, keep going, don't give up. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And pay attention to this. Here we go. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. As I got the call yesterday, I quickly threw on some different clothes. We'd just come back from a little birthday party from our kids. We got home and I was getting cleaned up. We were going to play, and I get the call, and so I throw on some different clothes. And by the time I get to Ricky and Diana Lowry's house, there's already a gaggle of people there. Kent and Susan Johnson, Mike and Sharon Yates, Rick and Teresa Williams, the Darties. And by the time I get there, there's some family members as well. And I come into their house down the hallway to see where Diana is. I give her a hug, and she just says, yeah, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have a longer life. We had plans. We were going to retire. We were getting it all figured out. We were ready. Here's the first thing I want you to hear this morning. You and I, according to the Hebrews writer, have a race marked out. But did you notice the key words there? For you. For me. Have you ever watched a professional race? Now, by the way, I'm not a runner. People say, do you run? I say, yes, only from larger people and animals that want to hurt me. That's the only time I run. Well, by the way, back here, over here, I see Jake Holt, Wayne Holt's son. When, true story, in high school and middle school, Jake Holt was the reason that I got in physical good shape, because whenever he came, I ran away because I had a big mouth and little feet. So he was there, okay? But you notice this, we're in a The writer says, you're in a race. You're in a race. And I know what happens is when we say, well, this isn't normal or it should be this way. The reason we say that is because we look at our lane in the race and we say, my lane should look like everyone else's lane. I should be running the same race that everyone else is running. But you notice what the Hebrew writer says. He says, you run the race that you, by God's grace, have been marked. Every one of us has a specific lane that God has given us to run in. And it is my responsibility to say, my role is to run the race God has marked out for me. Your job is to run the race God has marked out for you today. Amen? So what that means is this. There are going to be things you face that I don't face. There will be things I face you don't face. But he says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those who are in love with Christ, those who saw great things, and then also those who faced great challenges, let us run the race that's marked out for each of us with perseverance. Now, how do we do that? Look at what it says here. We do it, verse 2, by fixing our eyes on whom? On whom? On whom? We fix our eyes on Jesus. Notice this, the author and the perfecter of our faith. I love that image of an author. He's the one who before your life began, he sat down and he began to write the story of your life. And of course, you have choices. How do you want to live out that story? But he's the one who said, I know what's going to happen. I've seen it all. He's the author. But then this most important word there, he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know what this means? It means that not only did he create you, he is the one who will sustain you. When you hit those moments as you come around the turn and you begin to stumble, when that moment happens, when something takes your eyes off the prize, when things are not going right, when you say, this isn't how it's supposed to be, he says, you refix your eyes on Jesus. He is both the author and the perfecter of your faith. We run with perseverance. Because the reality is, none of us know when the end of this race is going to happen for each of us. Some of us, it's going to be many, many years from now, and for others, it'll be more sudden than we expect. But I want you to see what he says next. This is so beautiful, family. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Notice this, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What is the key to running this race, family? You look at Jesus. You focus on him. And you say, I've seen what he went through. He is the one who ran before me. I focus on him. I run with him. And he will carry me home. I want to give you one word to think about this morning as we kind of draw our attention to our prayer time. And here's the word. It's the word alive. We talk about death, how it is not natural, how it just doesn't make sense, how that is not the way things were, and yet it is still the natural state for so many people. And there's a choice, death or being alive. And when you think of the word alive, I want to give you just sort of some words to associate with it. The A, always. L, living. I, in. V, that's the word view. And if you'll permit me a little bit of artistic license here, the view of. So always living in view of eternity. Alive. Always living in view of eternity. And here's my question, family. You can be a Christ follower, but are you living fully alive? Today, are you living in view of eternity? Today, are you turning your eyes towards Jesus in every moment? Today, when you have that decision to make, will you run or will you turn aside? Will you live fully alive, always living in view of eternity? Are you fully alive? Here's the reality. Today, you and I are running our individual races and we have a choice to make. Do we want to live fully alive or not? And it comes down to just simply saying, we will turn our eyes to Jesus. You remember that old hymn that we sing around here sometimes? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Today we have a choice. See, the reality is I don't know when my race is going to come to an end. I hope it's many years from now, family. I do. I love you. I love my kids. I want to see them grow. I want to see you grow. My joy and my hope, I talk with my friends about this, that my goal one day is to be an old man, fat, no hair. That way when I get out of the shower, all I have to do is grab a towel. I'm done. Just be wrinkly, look like one of those dogs that you kind of lift up the wrinkles to see their eyes, sitting on a front porch in a swing with a buddy of mine, watching our kids. I'd love to be around here. Either one of two things. Either I want to be here until I die, so I do my last sermon here, and at the end say, let us pray, and I'll close the caskets. Or that you guys kick me out, but I sit up here and I make it hard on the next guy who comes in. One or the other. That's my hope. But I don't know when my race will end. And the reality is you don't either. And so many of us are wasting moments thinking, oh, tomorrow will come. There's more to come. Family, that is both true and false. You don't know that tomorrow on earth will come. But if you are in Christ, then everyone knows that in eternity of it, tomorrows are coming. Amen? So here's my prayer for you. Will you live fully alive today? Will you make the decision that you will fix your eyes on Christ? That you'll stop playing around with the things that lead to death, this unnatural state. But will you choose to look to Christ and always live in view of eternity? Because the day is coming. As we heard already this morning, that there's coming that day when every knee will bow and Christ will return. And wherever you are on that race, whether you're still running or if your moment has come and you've already had to stop, he's going to say, okay, well done, good and faithful servants. Let's go home. That is why we're here today, family, to remember that and to remind one another that in Christ we have a hope and a future. Amen. Now, I don't know where you are this morning. In a room this size, we're all over the map. Some of you need to simply be reminded that there's a God who is in front of you saying, come on, you run. You keep running. Don't quit. Others of you here just need to have someone come alongside and say, come on, get up. Get up. Stop stopping. Get up and run. Others in here, you need to get in the race, and you've not chosen to follow Christ, and he is pleading with you, saying, fix your eyes on me. You just come after me. I will make it work. I don't know where you are. And some of you, you are running for all it's worth, but you're going, God, it hurts. I don't know what to do. And he says, I endured the cross for you. You keep running. You come with me. You come with me. And so now we're going to invite you to come. We're going to sing. We're going to go to our daddy God, and he's going to take us wherever we are, and he wants to hear from you. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Are you ready? I'm going to make a bold request. Here it is. Will you please talk to God in the next few minutes? Will you do that? We're going to go into a time of prayer.